Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast. Wow, I've got a frog in my throat. I think that's a saying. Apologies for not being here last week. That was my bad. I was actually away filming a video. But anyway, I'm not going to ramble on. We have a United States Grand Prix to talk about. But I do just want to say we are Box Box Podcast, powered by Box Box Club. If you do want to check out Box Box Club, the links are in the description down below. You can get yourself a 30% discount using code BoxBoxPod. But it is also free if you do just want to use the free features. If you want to check us out on social media, search BoxBox Clips on TikTok and BoxBox Pod on Instagram. That is where you will find us. We are there every single day of the week, mostly. Anyway, let's crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along. I have to say, Luke, you smashed that. And apologies for last week. To be fair to you guys, I probably found out probably only a day before you guys that there was not going to be a podcast, because Luke messaged me on, Friday going, ah, shit, by the way, there's no podcast this weekend because I'm away.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing a 72-hour water fast for a video with a friend of mine. And just when you're not eating, I mean, I just kind of completely forgot. And also then, yeah, like, there was no way I could have, I mean, we were away anyway, but even if I had, like, brought my stuff, I was useless. But anyway, we're here now. We're obviously, I believe it's a double header. Let me get my little
It's Mexico calendar. This week. It's Mexico.
It is Mexico, but I didn't know if it was a triple header.
Not a triple header. There's a gap after that because then it's Brazil.
It is. Off to one of our favourite races of the whole year, but talking of favourite races of the whole year, COTA is normally one of my favourite races of the entire F1 calendar.
Yeah.
And I watched Singapore with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago who's not an F1 fan. And I was like, oh, mate, like, you know, I'm sorry, it might be a little bit boring because Singapore's not the greatest track for overtaking. But, you know, just ride it out. In a couple of weeks, we've got COTA, and that's going to be a great race, because it always is. So he's round last night. We're like 10 minutes before the race, and he's like, so you say this track's a lot better, right? We'll get some overtaking. I'm like, yeah, mate, we'll have plenty of it. And I said, there's always a smash in turn one when lights go out. And he's like, sick. And then that didn't happen.
I mean, it depends what race you're talking about, because a sprint race... Yeah,
I am talking race. And I was like, don't worry, we're going to have a lot of action on track. Yeah, that was one of the biggest lies I've ever said. So I don't know how they've even managed to make this track boring. Super impressive of them, because COTA has always been such a great track for racing. And don't get me wrong, we had a little bit in the midfield towards the back, but even there I didn't feel like there was a great deal of overtakes. It was, I hate to say it, because I feel like we come to this podcast a lot of weeks and we're like, well, another kind of snooze fest, guys. We'll try and spice it up for you. Luckily there is a lot to talk about this weekend, but did it disappoint you like it did me?
Yeah I was thinking halfway through how bored I am. And it's very rare I've been bored watching a race at COTA, because, you know, Max got off great. You had that battle between, you say battle between Max and Lando and Charles. Was it really a battle? I mean, Charles had it quite comfortable for what, the first 20 odd laps. Lando couldn't really overtake. And then obviously Lando had to, in the second stint, had to pull back, call his tyres, then he went for it. He's pretty easy overtake, to be fair. It was a good battle in parts, granted, but there was really nothing else. I mean, in that second stint, basically Piastri, Hamilton, George came out, I mean, an extra like 5-6 seconds behind they were before the first stint. So it just, there was nothing. I mean, the most exciting part was Piastri hunting down Lewis on the final lap.
You know, even that, we, you know, it was never real jeopardy. Like, you could see that it wasn't that close. But one thing I will say, one thing I will say, because we are very quick to criticize, so let's be equally as quick to praise. TV direction, much better this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't see Girlfriends. It wasn't just, you know, Terry Crews and Matthew McConaughey plastered everywhere. It was a lot better. And the reason I bring that up is because we actually got to see Oscar Piastri chasing down Lewis Hamilton at the end of the race. Unlike Singapore, where you had Lewis Hamilton, who had no brakes, Fernando Alonso breathing down his neck, and we just watched George Russell parading around the track, which is great. I was happy for George. But there was still action on the track, and they were just showing us him cooling his car down. Outrageous. But this week, much better. So I'm going to give you a big thumbs up for this week. Keep it up.
Before we actually get into it, I got a quick quiz for you, Luke. Because this weekend, Lewis Hamilton, with the most career points of all time, went over the 5,000 mark. Don't know if you've seen this.
I have seen it.
So after this weekend, he's now on 5,004 points, which is mental. Can you tell me who is currently in P2?
Okay, all right. Let's clear something up here first, though. Has it been adjusted? You know, Michael Schumacher has won many, 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 many races.
Mm.
But he was in an era where he was only getting 10 points per race.
Yeah.
Has this been adjusted?
No.
Because strictly speaking, Lewis Hamilton probably has more than 5,000 points. If we're going to adjust it all.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Genuinely, second place is probably Max.
It is Max Verstappen, 3,329 points.
But if they were adjusted, it would be Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, for guys who are watching, if it's out there, do let us know what the adjusted point system would be, because you make a very good point there.
Well, yeah. I think it's a bit of a bum stat, really, if you're not going to adjust it for everyone, because so Michael Schumacher isn't going to be, you know, he may be in the 5,000 point club. I doubt it, because his career wasn't as long as Lewis is, or especially he wasn't at the top for as long as Lewis. But he was racing in an era where you got 10 points. But, you know, until he came back with Mercedes, which is where it wasn't, you know, hugely successful. I'm sure he helped pave the way for their future. But, yeah, it's not really a fair stat, is it?
Do you know what? I'm going to scrap that because you put a damper on it. So we're going to go straight into talking about the race. So, where should we start? Shall we go? So if you're new to this, what we do, basically, we go through each team. We rate their weekend, break it down, and give our opinions on it. So if you are watching on YouTube, do drop a comment. We do like your interaction with that. So let's start off with Williams.
There is one thing. Can I just say it just before? Actually, it's quite fitting that you picked Williams as well.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this week, but our very good friend, your favourite, in fact, Nicholas Latifi.
His
obviously, his time came to an end in Formula One back in 2023, I believe. And he's been radio silent for a long time. And that is because he has been getting his, I believe it's his master's. He must have done it. He's done an undergrad degree at the London Business School. And he has now got his degree. So is there anything this man cannot do? Whether it's racing a Formula One car, having Lewis Hamilton's 8th title snatched from him, getting a degree. I think it is really impressive, okay, because you see this in a lot of sports where sportsmen will kind of spend their whole life working towards a goal around the sport, and we know that only 0.00001% of people who pursue these dreams actually make them. And it, you know, you could argue Nicholas Latifi achieved his dream. He made it into F1. He was actually in F1 for a fair period of time. And then, you know, he lost his seat and he hadn't really done enough to warrant another team picking him up. And now he's gone back to school, got a degree, and I just think it's great to see. I think I'm delighted for him.
Big shout out to Nicholas Latifi. Well done, lad. No, it is. It is good for him. Let's get into Williams. So,
yes,
mixed weekend for them. You look at the sprint. Fantastic. Carlos Sainz, P3. Alex Albon, P6. Fantastic. Heading into the race is a very different story. Carlos Sainz, DNF after his collision with Kimi Antonelli. He's been given a 5-place grid penalty for Mexico. Personally, I actually think that's fair. I don't know what Kimi was meant to do in that situation. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I'm with you, to be honest. I think... I don't... It wasn't outrageous from Carlos Sainz. I wasn't watching it thinking, like, you idiot. Like, what have you done? Like, I got it because some drivers would have not turned in. And you could argue that Kimi would have been better off for not turning in, maybe being a little bit more aware, because I don't think Carlos would have got that position either way. You know, had Kimi just hung it out a little bit and not tried to hit the apex, I still don't think Carlos Sainz was going to overtake him off the back of that, especially because, you know, he would have come out and had the inside line all the way around. But it's not Kimi Antonelli's fault at all. I just want to stress that that is not what I'm saying. So, yeah, I think it's very fair. It ruined Carlos's race. It ruined Kimi's as well, to be fair. And it wasn't Kimi's fault. So, yeah, 5-place grid penalty. It probably hits the nail on the head.
And before that, Alex Albon had a spin on lap one as well. I can't remember who he collided with. Was it Bortoleto?
It was Bortoleto. That was just unfortunate, in my opinion. Like, I don't think no one did anything wrong there. I don't think Alex did anything wrong. I think he just. It was kind of a bit like the sprint one in a way, where he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, but doing the right thing. You know, like Hülkenberg was just there. Oscar Piastri had cut back. Bortoleto, obviously, they were surrounded by cars. He'd just cut in a little bit, and Albon just, you know, got caught by him. But luckily, it didn't ruin Bortoleto's race.
No, and I think for Williams, you know, they took 9 points in the sprint. And for a team like Williams, if they came away with 9 points normally from a race, I think they'd be actually quite happy. So disappointing for the main race, but I think coming away with 9 points from a sprint race this weekend, I think they'd be relatively happy with that.
And, you know, let's not forget that Williams are on 111 points this season. That is almost, like, unimaginable for where they were just a few seasons ago. So I don't think Williams are going to be... I don't think there's anything at this point that could disappoint Williams. I think even if they end the rest of the season with no points finishes, they're still going to celebrate come the end of the season because it's been a really great season for them.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get on to Alpine because, I mean, look, Franco Colapinto, I don't know whether to applaud you or just send your commiserations, because you've either really pissed off your team and that is the end now for you, or they've actually seen something in you and gone, I like this. He's actually disobeyed orders and he's gone against his teammate. I rate it. I don't know which one is going to work out for him.
I'm of the same opinion, right? That part of me, when I watched it, I was thinking, like, number one, what is the point? It's for P17. But then on the flip side, I also then thought, like, well, fair play. Like, how can you give team orders at that point? Like, nothing's going to go wrong. It's not like your race is going to get even worse. The only thing that would get worse is if they crashed, and that would be down to your drivers. You know, that they should be sensible enough to know that they're not going to race each other so hard that they're going to crash with, like, two laps to go, or it might have even been the last lap of the race, you know, when they're in, like, P17, P18. So,
well, I think there was about three or four laps to go, because Max was obviously behind them there. Bortoleto chasing down Colapinto. Colapinto's coming over the radio going, why do I need to... like, he's slow. He's literally called Gasly slow and just said, like, And then he went for the move. And look, I rate it. I think Colapinto he's trying to prove himself in the sport. He's trying to prove that he deserves a seat in F1. And I think if he had just gone by team orders yesterday, it would be another race where they would have looked back and gone, actually, yeah, but, you know, Pierre Gasly's outperformed you in all of these races. But actually, on fair play to Colapinto, he was like, I'm not having that today. I'm faster. I'm taking it.
And what I will say is, Colapinto, in my opinion, has improved like significantly since he came in. It's always, I do think when he came in, he was particularly poor. You know, everyone expected way more when Colapinto first came into Alpine. And I know Colapinto fans are very passionate, and they're definitely the first people to let us know if we've upset them. But I'm going to say, like, I think Colapinto has improved significantly as his stint has gone on at Alpine. And it's really hard to judge someone when they're in the worst car.
It's mad, isn't it, though, when you look back a year ago where Colapinto was. We were talking about him on this podcast, like, he's the next big thing, you know, he's doing wonders at Williams. Yeah, okay, no.
I didn't.
No, I know what you're going to say here, because he obviously had crashes. When I say next big thing, I mean he's actually a rising star as such in F1. And it just hasn't worked out.
No, it hasn't. But again, this is where I say you have got to look at the team. But I would expect a rising star, you know, the next big thing, to be beating Pierre Gasly week in, week out. And that's not a criticism of Pierre Gasly. I've always said he's a fantastic F1 driver. Solid. But he's not a world champion. You know, Pierre Gasly is not someone that is ever going to have a seat at Ferrari as the number one driver or Mercedes. So if you are the next big thing, regardless of your age, you should be challenging Pierre Gasly in your first season.
100%. So do let us know. Was Colapinto right to disobey orders and overtake Gasly? Do let us know. Do get involved. Let's go to Sauber. Again, a mixed weekend for them, because you look at, you know, sprint qualifying, Hülkenberg, P4, phenomenal lap. Comes to the sprint race, unfortunately, as you said earlier, wrong place, wrong time. What's your thoughts on that? Because I personally feel like Hülkenberg had nowhere to go. He was basically sandwiched, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, no. Look, Hulk had zero involvement in that incident. He was just a bystander that got wiped out. You know, it's like being the victim of someone throwing a rock at someone else, but it hits you instead. It's just completely bad timing, and sadly it did ruin his sprint race, understandably. But again, Sauber are going to look at what Sauber will look at this season is irrelevant, the whole points thing for them, apart from the fact, you know, the higher they finish up, the more money they get. Okay, so they will be a little bit disappointed. But what they will look at this season is how far they've come and how they've really been able to push this car forward. And as a team, they look like they've got bags of potential. They've got a very strong driver lineup. You know, I think Bortoletto and Hülkenberg are one of the most impressive partnerships on the grid, personally. And I think if you do give them a car, they're not going to be any pushovers.
No.
So they're going to be looking at this like, well, look, we were able to qualify that car, like P4 or whatever it was in the sprint. And then, you know, Bortoletto finished P11, I think it was, in the sprint race. Obviously, Hülkenberg a bit further back due to circumstances that occurred. But Hulk still got points in the race. You know, he still finished P8. It's still not... They're still going to come away from it saying, that wasn't a bad weekend.
His first points in Silverstone, his Silverstone podium. So, impressive. Obviously, a difficult weekend for Bortoletto. But yeah, I mean, Sauber, I think, will generally be... They'll take a lot of positives away. They came away with points from the main race. They qualified well in sprint qualifying. They'll be very happy with that. Mm-hmm. RBs. One person who won't be happy is Isaac Hadjar. Awful qualifying. Didn't even do a lap in Q1 before. It was a nasty crash, wasn't it?
Yes.
So he ended up finishing P16 in the race. Liam Lawson, P11. I actually thought Lawson was on course to get some points this weekend. He was chasing down Alonso quite nicely. It just looks like the tyres went off towards the end and couldn't do anything there. But yeah, difficult weekend for the RBs.
And let's not forget that Lawson was just outside the points in both of the races.
Yeah, P9 in the sprint race, P11 in the actual main race. So we're definitely seeing more improvement from Liam Lawson.
The more this goes on, the more I do genuinely believe Liam Lawson will keep his seat at RB.
Yeah.
I think I see exactly how this scenario goes. It's Yuki Tsunoda is going to lose his seat at Red Bull, right? That is not something any of us wanted to see, but that is what is going to happen. And it's very hard to argue that it's not deserved at this point. But I think we're going to see Isaac Hadjar get that promotion up to Red Bull and Arvid Lindblad coming in to that RB seat.
Yeah.
That is then freed up.
There's reports who are linking with that. Yeah, 100%. So Red Bull and RBs have got some big decisions to make over the next few weeks, and you know, ultimately they may have made their decisions. I know Laurent Mekis was very positive about Tsunoda yesterday in his post-race interview, saying, you know, he's performed really well. He obviously had a dip in Singapore, but he actually picked up some nice points this weekend. So who knows what will happen there, but I hope we don't lose Yuki in the sport, because I do love Yuki, but he just needs a really strong finish to the end of the season.
And that is what we'll touch on Yuki a little bit more when we get to Red Bull, because there are some frank discussions that have to be had.
Yeah. Let's go to Haas. Ocon, P15 in the race. Ollie Bearman picking up more points, P9. I mean, for us, we're saying P9, really positive for Ollie Bearman. He wasn't very happy with that. Let's talk about that instant, shall we, with Yuki, while we're on Haas. Ollie Bearman saying it was dangerous, it was unsportsmanlike. For me, it's racing. Like, I don't know. Where was he going? I don't understand it. I don't understand why he's getting so heated about it.
See, this is where we disagree. I actually agree with Ollie Bearman. As watching it as it happened, I thought, you can't do that. He just changed direction so quickly.
Yeah, I get that, but the gap wasn't there. Because he was literally...
Well, it was.
I don't know. I think, like Yuki said afterwards, it's racing. Like, you got to remember, Yuki is fighting for his career here. And I'm not saying he needs to do anything dangerous, but, I mean, Ollie Bearman was the quicker driver. He just didn't need to lunge it there. You'd seen previously, who else who had collision? And Antonelli and Sainz had collided there earlier, hadn't they?
Yeah, but he probably didn't see that. He didn't witness it. He was driving around the track.
Well, he should be more like Max Verstappen. Max just watches TV when he goes around.
Yeah, that's because he just doesn't need to concentrate. I do think, personally, that it was dangerous from Yuki. I think it was one of those manoeuvres that was just like, I'm not letting him through. I'm just going to completely block him off. And it was done dangerously. Yuki had made his choice in direction that he was going, and then as Bearman sort of went to sniff up the inside, he just completely cut across him. That's not how you take that corner, right? Yuki Tsunoda was never going to take that line without that happening, and I don't think it was a fair defensive move. I do think it was dangerous. I think it would have been very easy for Ollie Bearman to then run into the back of him, and I do think it reeked of desperation a little bit. And I'm not being funny. This is where we can have the Yuki Tsunoda discussion. A Red Bull should not be under threat from a Haas.
No.
That is absolutely unacceptable. And this is where It's great. Yuki has definitely improved since first coming into the team, of course. But he's still behind both of the Racing Bulls drivers in the championship standings. He's joint on points with Esteban Ocon. Now, I know his teammate is Max Verstappen, but Max is in a championship battle here. You know, Max has won, I don't even know how many races this season, but more than he should have. And now it is pretty clear that this Red Bull is a car that is capable of winning, right? Without just Max Verstappen in the car. Max makes it a lot easier. He also makes it look a lot easier. But this Red Bull is not the fourth fastest car now, or the third. The McLaren is not dominating every single race. And you've got, you know, Yuki Tsunoda finishing, sorry, where did he finish? P7.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 33 seconds off Max Verstappen. And then you've got his team principal coming out saying, like, oh, sorry, 52 seconds off Max Verstappen. And you're saying, yeah, we're really impressed with him. He had a good weekend. I mean, come on. Really? Is that where we're at? That's what we're praising at a team who has just won, I don't know, they won the first two Constructors' Championships in this era of car, 22-23. They won, they're the only team to win the Drivers' Championship in this era of car. I think we have to be realistic about the situation. Nobody wanted the Yuki Tsunoda thing to work out more than us. We advocated for Yuki, but it's not working out. And like I say, when you start pulling stunts like that on a Haas, that tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, I agree. I just think also when you look, go back to Sergio Perez last year, he was well off Max. These results aren't much different from Sergio Perez last year. Do you know what I mean? They're not drastically different.
What did we say about him?
Well, yeah. That's why ultimately he lost his seat. But yeah, no, I agree. Yuki Tsunoda hasn't performed. He hasn't delivered up to what we were hoping he would. Red Bull, I do think, need to make the change in the come the end of the season. And that is sad. And I think for Yuki Tsunoda yesterday, he is fighting for his career. So he is going to do whatever it takes to try and do that. P7 for Yuki in a Red Bull where Max Verstappen is winning like 52 seconds up the road is poor. You know, that realistically, you should be having that other Red Bull on the podium, or at least P4, somewhere around that. They've got to change that. Ultimately, I do think someone like Isaac Hadjar could do that. He's a very, very special talent, and I think he would be able to deliver in that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that Red Bull have to be certain that the next move they make is the right one, because they can't stay in this perpetual loop of just promoting the drivers that have come through their academy and then just canning them off because they're unable to keep up with Max Verstappen. And no one's, I should specify, I'm not saying Yuki Tsunoda should be competing with Max Verstappen, but let's not forget, even when Sergio Perez was performing at Red Bull, he was winning races. There were times where Max didn't have an answer to him. And, you know, even Barrichello won races. Even Valtteri Bottas won races. This is not, Max Verstappen does not have to be the best driver at every single track in this Red Bull. And that's what I'm saying Red Bull need. Red Bull, Max should and will win 80-90% of those races when it comes to a head-to-head.
Yeah. As we're still on Red Bull,
you need someone that is winning those 10%.
100%, yeah. And I think as we're on Red Bull, we may as well talk about Max Verstappen, because we spoke a couple of weeks ago that actually Max Verstappen could be in a title battle. You know, he could come back. He's leaving Austin this weekend 40 points behind Oscar Piastri now, which is mental. And Max Verstappen, once again this weekend, showed why he is world champion, why he has gone on and won four world championships, because he was so dominant, and it's impressive. I think it works out that actually he's taken 119 points out of a possible 133 points over the last five. I can't remember how many races it is or whatever. But, I mean, can he do it?
I said a few weeks back, I'm going to say a month or two, that if there's any man that can do it, it's Max Verstappen. Because he's just, you know, he's this generation's driver, right? We see them. Michael Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen. He is in a different kettle of fish. And it's going to be tricky because, you know, bit of fortune in the sprint race with both the McLaren boys having to retire. But he is probably going to have to dominate the rest of the season for this to happen. You know, 40 points against a team that is very, very capable of winning. You know, do I think it could have been a different story yesterday had Lando not have lost P2? Potentially. It potentially could have been a different story for Max. But if there is one man that I'm going to trust with my last £20 down the bookies, it's Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I mean, 40 points, all it takes is Max to win in Mexico, both McLarens to take each other out.
Yeah, all it takes is that, right?
And then, well, I mean, we've seen it, haven't we? It's not impossible. We saw that this weekend. We've seen it, you know, close in Singapore between Lando and Oscar. We've seen Lando go into the back of Oscar earlier in the year in Canada. All it takes is for them to collide for whatever reason. Max Verstappen to win in Mexico. He's 1 point behind Lando, and then he's what? 26 behind? No. How many would he be? 12 behind? I can't even count.
I don't know. It would be like 15 or something behind Oscar.
I mean, I can't rule out Max. And I never thought Max was even in this discussion. But for some reason, McLaren have taken their foot off the gas and he's just slowly chipping away at this championship deficit.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely enough time to do it, right? We've still got Mexico, Brazil, Las Vegas, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi. But we do have two more sprint races,
yep.
I think that is, Brazil and Qatar. So there's more points on the table there. And we know that Max is a bit of a sprint race connoisseur. He's very good at them, and he does tend to win them. So it's going to get interesting. And I think the McLaren boys are going to be feeling the pressure. I get the impression they don't, as a team, they don't deal with pressure incredibly well. Hmm. But all the while they've been focusing on what's happening internally, they've lost sight of Max Verstappen. And that guy is always there, just lurking. And he
It was a very impressive win all weekend. Sprint quali, pole, sprint race win, qualifying pole. And then, yeah, I mean, it was all weekend he was solid. The only thing he didn't get was the fastest lap the whole weekend.
Yeah, but, you know, luckily you don't get a point for that anymore anyway.
No. But no, solid weekend. I think Red Bull would generally be happy with that. Max Verstappen, again, was just in the league of his own. But let's just quickly go through the other teams and then we'll get on to McLaren because there's quite a lot to talk about with McLaren. Let's quickly touch on Aston Martin. Lance Stroll, P12. Fernando Alonso picking up a point in P10. Look, Lance Stroll had an awful... I don't know what he was doing in the sprint race. He just... There's part of me that sometimes thinks we should get rid of Lance Stroll, but there's other part of me who's kind of like, let's just keep him for this because he was just class. That was, I don't even know where he thought he was going.
That was just so ambitious. And obviously he just smashed into the side of Esteban Ocon. And then he tried to drive off with three wheels. It's almost like, this is, that is never going to be good for a Formula One car, right? You have a qualifying session later on that day. Just park it up. It's almost like he was driving it as in like a, oh, I'm pissed off, like I can do whatever I want. That's the impression I got. And it was like, that move was unbelievable anyway. Just from so far back, and he took so much speed that he obviously had to stamp on the brakes, locked them up, and just continued going forward.
And not unbelievable like, in the good way either.
No, it was unbelievably shit. That's what it was. But, I mean, look. No, I can't even say that. I was going to say, well, if it stuck, we'd be saying what a move, but it would have never stuck. Like, no one could have made that move stick. It was not a move that was on. But, yeah, at least it provided us some very, very good entertainment.
But, yeah, Fernando Alonso P10, Lance Stroll P12. I think they'll be relatively happy with that. Picking up a point.
Yeah.
Where should we go?
Can I just say quickly that if you can hear a lot of rain in the background, it is because it is absolutely torrential outside and it is battering my window right here.
And mine in front of me.
Yeah, have you got it as well?
Mm.
It sounds like a monsoon out there. I can't even see out the window.
What, have I got rain considering I live, what, like 2 minutes away?
No, but directionally, like you might be on the side where the wind's not blowing it straight.
No, it's coming right into my windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. It is horrible. Right, who have we got left? We've got Ferrari and McLaren. Let's just touch on Ferrari.
And Mercedes.
Oh, and Mercedes. Oh, let's get Mercedes out of the way. Kimi Antonelli, P13. George Russell, P6. Look, George was... He looked very good in the sprint, and actually I was expecting a bit more from Mercedes in the actual race, but for some reason the performance just wasn't there. George was just stuck behind Piastri basically from lap one to the end. But, you know, I felt sorry for Kimi. I felt Kimi was on for some good points today. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for him, getting a P13. But George Russell getting a P2 and a P6, I think they'll take that.
Yeah, you know, Mercedes clearly, it sounds like all teams, by the way, but we've obviously followed Mercedes very closely for the last however many years. And in this era of car, they've really not understood their vehicle. It's been quite unreal at times. Now, COTA is one of the tracks they expected to be good at. And actually, go back through this era of cars, they have been good. COTA, you know, Lewis Hamilton almost won it back in 2023. I know he got disqualified in the end, but he was really, really hounding Max Verstappen. That was 2023, wasn't it? The black car.
Yeah.
Yeah. and then Singapore, a track where they didn't expect to be that good, they went on and won it. COTA. Yeah, they didn't really look anywhere. It was weird. They looked decent in the sprint race. George had pace. You know, even went for the move on Max Verstappen. Unfortunately, locked the inside left and couldn't make it stick. But, yeah, they're not going to be disappointed. I think Mercedes have had a good season. George Russell has had a fantastic season for the circumstances. They've never had the best car. You know, George Russell... is on 252 points. He's only like 50 points behind Max Verstappen, which I know that it's impossible for him to do anything now, but I think that goes to show just how impressive his season has been. And yeah, Kimi was just unlucky, but they're going to walk away from this weekend probably thinking, not bad, would have been good if we could have extracted a little bit more from the race, but the pace just wasn't there. You know, when you look at someone like Oscar struggling, you know, Oscar couldn't close up to the Ferraris. It just makes you think, well, it's probably not that bad, really, is it?
Also, I mean, Kimi, I think, did the most overtaking this weekend. And I think, you know, the race was bad when at some points they were showing like Kimi overtaking for like P15, P14. They were showing Isaac Hadjar trying to overtake for, what was it? P16, 15. That's how boring the race was this weekend. But no, yeah, Mercedes, it's one of those weekends. They've had ups and downs all weekends, but they've been relatively I think they'll take more from this year because they've been better in certain races, which they didn't expect, which I think they'll take a lot from. Ferrari, so Charles Leclerc, well, if you're looking at the sprint, Lewis Hamilton P4, Charles Leclerc P5. In the race, Charles Leclerc P3, Lewis Hamilton P4. Leclerc started on the softs, which I, at one point I was a bit like, that's a bold move. I was not expecting the softs to be as dominant or effective this weekend. But Charles Leclerc...
Someone's going to have to send the boys down to talk to the folk at Pirelli. Because they are destroying our sport. There's no way you should be able to one stop on soft and a medium. That's outrageous. That is absolutely outrageous. How is that even possible? Do you know how shit that makes the race? So boring. A soft tire. Charles Leclerc was on his soft tire for a good period. All of them were. Even if they were on the normal strategy, Charles was on the alternative strategy. Those tires just lasted. They didn't even look like they'd run out of that much pace. You know, it wasn't. And then look at the offset. When Lewis came out and he was like 9 seconds behind Charles at that point or whatever, Lewis came out on fresh soft tyres. Charles had been on the mediums for a fair bit of time. And there was no extra pace in those soft tyres. It was just like all the tyres were the fucking same.
How many times have you said that all year though? You go on, you pit on like lap 15 onto hards and that you can just go to the end of the race. Yeah. In all conditions. It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
I agree. Pirelli, you're ruining the sport. But look, Charles Leclerc, I have to say, wonderful overtake on Lando at the beginning. His defence was flawless. I was really impressed with Charles Leclerc's defence of Lando Norris. Do I think... Because there was a question later on about, obviously, you know, if he was defending Max Verstappen, would... Max Verstappen would have easily got past Charles Leclerc much earlier in that race.
Oh, here comes the Lando hate.
No, you don't agree?
Not necessarily.
Oh, come on. No, come off it. You're telling me if Max Verstappen had lost a place to Leclerc on the start, you're telling me Max Verstappen would have stayed 23, 24 laps behind Leclerc? No.
Well, I mean, that depends. If we're talking about Max Verstappen in the Red Bull yesterday, which was clearly a superior car, then I'd say Max would have got past quicker. But I don't think Lando in that McLaren necessarily did anything wrong. I mean, Charles's defence was quality. It was great. And, you know, Lando also then had to be careful because he kept getting these fucking track limits strikes. And obviously got to the point where he got black and white flagged. And then it would have been a 5 second penalty if he got another one. So I'm not sure. Max in the Red Bull would have overtaken Charles quicker and easier. Max in the McLaren, well, I just don't know.
But how is that the case then? Because they're saying that actually if Lando hadn't lost that place, he would have got Max. They're saying that the McLaren was the faster car over the weekend. And they would. So how are you saying that actually, Max wouldn't have gotten or would have, you know, gone past easier, but Lando didn't. Apparently, this McLaren was the faster car this weekend.
The DRS advantage on the McLaren was nowhere near as strong as what you saw on the Ferrari. I remember there was a part when Lando had DRS on Charles and Lewis had it from Lando. And granted, Lewis would have been benefiting from a bit of a double toe here, but Lewis was like 12, 13 kilometres an hour quicker down that straight.
Mm.
Now, that is big. That's a huge pace advantage. And I know Charles didn't have DRS, but I'm just saying it shows the inefficiency of McLaren's DRS. And they shortened the DRS zone. Yeah. And I think that made it really difficult for Lando.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to Ferrari, look, I think Ferrari will be delighted this weekend with they got a big hole of, a haul of points. I think that's Ferrari's first podium since Belgium, I think. So I think a really solid weekend. Charles Leclerc looked good. Lewis Hamilton will take a P4. It's gutted not to see him on the podium. But I don't think anyone really understood why Lewis was only a few seconds behind, you know, Lando in the first stint, and then they come out in the second stint and he's like 10 seconds behind. It's like it just didn't make any, you know, just seemed a bit all over the place.
Also, what we should say is, what were your thoughts on Charles racing Lewis?
A bit aggressive, but I mean, look, they're both...
In the race, I just didn't see the point in it. In the sprint race, when Charles was defending after he made the error in Sector 1, completely get that. I didn't really... sorry, I've got a really frustrating cough. I didn't really understand why they would allow that to happen when Charles was on old soft tyres. I know they boxed him straight away, but they clearly boxed him straight away just to avoid any conflict there. Lewis was on the faster tyre. They were on different tyre strategies. Lewis lost a lot of time to Lando, and look, I don't think Lewis would have got Lando anyway, but I did just find it a little bit strange. If they were both on the same tyre, then fair fucking play, but yeah, but a little bit bizarre to let that play out, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But no, I think Lewis, Charles, they'll be relatively happy with their weekends. Good amount of points in the sprint, good amount of points in the actual race. They'll take that. Let's just quickly finish on McLaren, because look, heading into this weekend, there's repercussions apparently. That's what has apparently been said. There's repercussions for Lando. We don't know what they are. But let's get into the sprint race, because look, a lot of people coming out and saying that's Oscar's fault. And granted, the gap wasn't really there for Oscar, the switchback, especially on turn one when there's cars piling into turn one. The switchback just wasn't really there. So it was unfortunate. It's a racing incident. But I think if anyone was to blame out of everyone, I would have probably said Oscar was the one to blame.
Yeah, I'm the same as you there. I think it was racing incident. It's similar in a way to last race in Singapore, where, you know, Lando was kind of right to do what he did, but if you had to blame anyone, it would have been his fault. I don't think there was anyone necessarily to blame, or anyone should have been penalised in that circumstance. And it's the same here. You know, Oscar went for it. You know, it just, unfortunately, there was a car there. And like you say, it just was bit of a silly move in that sort of corner in turn one, lap one, all those cars being there. But at the same time, you can't blame him for taking his opportunity. And yeah, sadly, it went wrong. Unfortunately, Lando was just collateral damage to that. It wasn't even like Oscar crashed into Lando. He crashed into Hülkenberg, bounced off him,
Lando. It was a good start, wasn't it, from Oscar? It was a good start. Yeah. He got the better getaway. And then obviously, you know, Lando braked later into turn one, meaning that he managed to stay ahead. It was just one of those unfortunate collisions. And I can understand why Oscar went for the switchback, but I think having that understanding that actually on turn one, when you've got 20 other cars or 18 other cars piling into that, it's probably not the best place to do that. Because Martin Brundle said a great thing this weekend, isn't it? It's actually, although you have your mirrors, they're pretty useless when you're blindsided. You can't turn your head. You know, you've got so much going on around you. You're just basically turning and hoping. you're just hoping that actually you're not going to hit anyone. So disappointing Saturday for McLaren. But let's touch on to the race, because look, we talk about, oh, you know, Lando would have won that race if he hadn't lost a place to Leclerc. But this is a thing which we've said many times.
Who said that? Who has said that?
There was a discussion afterwards on Sky Sports talking, and I've seen some things on social media saying actually, if Lando hadn't lost that place at the beginning, he would probably got Max Verstappen. Look, another difficult start for Lando Norris, because he kind of was he created the work for himself, didn't he? By losing his place on the start to Leclerc, he lost.
Yeah, but that's a little bit unfair, no? Charles Leclerc started on the soft tyre.
Yeah, but okay.
It was always going to be incredibly difficult. How can you say that? Last year,
we criticised Lando for his poor starts. His poor starts last year cost him a lot of points and a lot of places.
Did he have a poor start?
You lost your place. You lost a place.
Okay. Right, if you and me are having a running race and I've got springs on my shoes and you start 5 metres ahead of me, but 10 seconds later I'm in front of you, did you have a poor start or have I just got an advantage?
Look,
Lando Norris did not have a poor start this weekend. Charles Leclerc had a good start.
Okay, yeah, you can look at it like that, but Lando Norris lost a place. He lost a place and he spent 20 odd laps behind Charles Leclerc, which cost him the win this weekend. Or the potential to go on and win.
No, it did cost him the potential to win, but I don't believe there was anything anyone could have done in that situation.
Let us know. Do drop a comment. this was a weekend where Oscar Piastri struggled again, picking up a P5. He didn't look great at all this weekend, and he hasn't done for the last few races. There's a lot of discussion now, and Luke, I want to ask you this question, okay? Because I have my answer to this, but I want to hear from your point of view. So, should McLaren favour a driver with Max closing in?
No. McLaren should absolutely not get involved. They shouldn't even think about any involvement in the World Drivers' Championship at this point. They've got the constructors, right? That's where they can get involved. If that is the team's priority, fair enough. They have now got that. This is about letting two grown-ass men race. And if they end up losing it to Max Verstappen because they race each other too hard and they forget about the real thing they need to worry about, then that's on them. Now, McLaren would love a driver's championship, but ultimately it is a personal thing and they know more of this bullshit. Oh, Lando had a slow stop, so Oscar, you should let him go through. No more of that. No more. Just let them race and what will happen will happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you can ask a team to make that decision on who they're prioritising, especially with how the championship is so close. I think they need to just let them race and whatever happens will happen. And if it is the fact that they'll lose out to Max Verstappen, they lose out to Max Verstappen. At least they can say they've been fair between both drivers. But yeah, do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Should McLaren favour a driver? I think it's too close. You can't favour one driver over the other. And I'm not even sure that one of them would listen. Can you imagine going up to Lando and, right, Lando, we're going to prioritise Oscar for the Drivers' Championship, so we need you to play a team. He'd be like, mate, I'm like 14 points behind. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, they shouldn't. You know, if it was like, you know, if Oscar was 100 points ahead, or even like 60, 70 points ahead, then that would make sense. You know, Lando, there's no chance of you winning it here. We need Oscar to go and get this, and you've got to help him. That's your role now.
Okay, finally, who, at this moment in time, who is your favourite for the Drivers' Championship?
Oscar Piastri. With Max Verstappen in second.
Do you know what? I was going to say the same. I'm still confident Oscar will go on and do it. I think, yes, he's had some difficult races over the last few races. But I think he will turn that around and we'll see old Oscar back shortly. I do think with how Max is going, I do think I can see him finishing P2, which if you're Lando Norris, losing to P2 to Max Verstappen, especially with how dominant this McLaren car was earlier in the season, it would hurt. But I still think Oscar has it there.
Yeah, I think it's 40 points is just still, that's difficult, right? We've got 7 opportunities for points. The sprint races don't offer a great difference in points. You know, if Max finishes first, Oscar finishes third even, there's only like 2 points in that. Oscar Piastri, I think we're not going to see finish outside of the top 3 frequently. And I think it does then become very difficult. I don't think Max is going to go on and win every single race. I think we'll still see Oscar win another race or two. We'll see Lando win race. We will see Max win more races. But let's not forget George Russell is still there picking up the occasional race win. So it's more that I don't think it's dead set that Max is going to win every race. And that's why I think it's not as easy as people think.
All I know is we've got a really exciting next few races coming up. I think it's really starting to heat up now. If you're Oscar Piastri, it's a bit squeaky bum time because you've lost a lot of points recently to Lando Norris and Max Verstappen. But, you know, he needs to turn that around. He needs to actually start picking up those podiums again, picking up those wins, getting on the front row again, like we saw what he was doing earlier in the year. So Mexico is going to be a good race. Should we quickly touch on Mexico before we finish?
Yeah. Yeah, we're obviously heading to Mexico City this week. I think this is going to be... This could really dial up the pressure. If Max Verstappen wins this weekend, there's going to be some sleepless nights happening in both the Piastri and the Norris household. Because that is going to really ramp things up.
I agree. So FP1 is on Friday, 7:30 to 8:30. FP2, 11 till midnight. FP3 on Saturday is 6:30 to 7:30. Then we got qualifying, 10 to 11. And then we got the race on Sunday, 8 till 10. So same as what we had this weekend, pretty much. But Luke, the all-important question is, who's your top 3 for the Mexico Grand Prix?
I wouldn't write out seeing a George Russell on a podium here. I'm going to go... I actually don't know. It's so tricky. I'm going to say Oscar... George, Max.
Okay. Interesting. I'm going to go Max, Oscar. Lando.
Yeah, that's also a very great shout. This is the thing, it's quite difficult. I'm thinking the reason I put George in there. It's because where we've seen them excel at, like, Singapore, at Canada, you know, I think I can see Mexico being a track that is weirdly suited to this Mercedes.
But the track is also very difficult, isn't it? It's one that it's hard to read because it's a very high-altitude track, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it does affect the cars... And you've seen that over the last few years. It's affected the cars a lot. But one thing Mexico fans don't have to worry about this year is disappointment from watching Sergio Perez, because everyone gets their hopes up and then he goes out and then crashes either into turn one or he retires or whatever. So Mexico fans, have a year off. Relax a bit, enjoy the sport, and then he'll be back next year in Cadillac.
Yep, and who knows how that project is going to unfold. It might be the best decision he's ever made in his life.
Exactly. But guys, that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. If you're watching on YouTube, do drop a comment, hit like button, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening to us on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating. You can also comment on there. But we'll be back next week just to let people know, we're back next week, but we won't be back the week after because I am running my first ever marathon. I haven't said it for a while, Luke, you let me have that one, okay? But I won't be in the country. So I'm giving you notice, Luke, okay? Just this is how it works. A day's notice.
I'm actually not in the country this week, but I land on Sunday.
Nice. Well, have a great time.
Thanks.
And yeah, we'll be back next week with a brand new podcast. So have a good week. Bye-bye.